Hey everybody, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast, episode 97. The year the special editions came out, in fact. I'm your host for this evening, founder of Star Wars Report and executive editor of the Star Wars Report, Riley Blanton. We'll get to that funny story in a second. Also joining me, that giggling voice in the background, is my sister and associate editor, Bethany
Blanton. Associate editors don't giggle, Riley.
No.
They chuckle.
Chuckle, yes, exactly. And there he is. Joining us once again is Mr. Mark Herleman.
Hey, everybody. Greetings from Camp McLaughlin, although I'm not there anymore, but I literally just got back.
Almost Camp McLaughlin. Yeah, see, I've been seeing the pictures on Facebook, Mark, and that's pretty good. And it wouldn't be an episode of Star Wars Report talking celebration without one particularly special gentleman. He's here joining us from Hazelhurst, Georgia. And I like to say...
7, 8, 9.
It's Steve Glosson. He
drop
predicted
the mic,
it.
Walk away. Drop the mic and walk away.
Exactly. He predicted it. I have no idea how, but you predicted it. Welcome back to the show, Steve. It's been too long.
It has been too long. I don't know why you guys. I've not got a call. Let's see. I'm looking at 3 or 4 episodes where I've not gotten a call with a Steve Star Wars minute.
I know.
And I'm just wondering what's up with that.
I feel terribly guilty about it, Steve.
I can tell.
I mean, I'm sitting here and I feel kind of awkward because, like, I thought it might come up right in the first 2 minutes of the show, but I thought, no, we'll get past that. There's no way that would come right up at the very beginning of the episode.
It's the bantha in the room, man.
Oh dear. Oh dear. No, we're here. We're talking Celebration Europe 2. But hey, back to the it was teased at the beginning. Dragon Con is upon us. We talked about it last week. And so I'm applying to be press at Dragon Con. And I'm just going to throw it all out there because I don't think I'm going to get it. But we might, you know, who knows. If you're listening, Dragon Con media people, we love you. Kind of. but the process, I described it somewhat subtly to Brian from over at Tashi Station on Twitter. We were talking about it. I described it, I think aptly as selling your soul for a media pass. Like, you got the driver's license, the position, the letter from the editor, and saying the assignment was good. So it's a thorough process. They are true professionals. They don't want to let any humdinger schmuck blogger that blogs twice a year know. This is serious media that attends Dragon Con.
Very serious. So
like, in the process, we had to actually define titles for myself and Bethany, and I've never thought about this because we just do this as fans. I don't think about it. So I looked up, like, the AP's official editorial title system for, like, old school newspapers, and so I found the roles that best fit us. So I am now the executive editor of StarWarsReport.com, and I already feel considerably more important. As Bethany is the associate editor. Now we need a title for you, Mark, though. Although you will not be at Dragon Con, we still need to get you a title.
The EU correspondent.
There you go. You know, and like, we're doing it through Middle Earth Network, not just through the site. So we're doing it through our parent partner, Middle Earth Network. And so we'll be getting some, not just Star Wars, but we'll be doing Lord of the Rings coverage and that. So I want to show a quick mention while I'm on the topic, just again, and I'll be doing this each week, just to make sure we've got a number of listeners who've already talked to us who will be at Dragon Con. But in case you haven't heard so far, remember Friday, 2:30 p.m., Atrium 706 in the Marriott, Everything We Know and Think We Know about Episode 7. Bethany and I will be panelists on that panel, as well as Saturday, 7 p.m., same room, Atrium 706. We'll be doing the Star Wars blogging and podcasting panel as well. And who knows, maybe more, maybe less. We'll see once the final schedule comes out. But I just got off the phone with staff member and fellow podcaster for the site, Aaron Goins, and we were talking about some pretty interesting and cool potential plans. So again, stay tuned to StarWarsReport.com and our Facebook and Twitter. And again, we'll be sending out updates very soon on the subject of meetups and on the subject of media coverage and plans. That's all going to be on our mailing list. Again, if you haven't signed up, please do so. StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. But that's not the topic of tonight's show. The topic
Bradley,
of
I don't know if you're aware of this, but back in my day, when I used to be a podcaster...
used to be?
Yeah.
Like, what are you now, Steve?
I got to sit on a couple of panels at Dragon Con. In fact, that's the only reason I went to Dragon Con.
Really? So, like, this was Smallville days? Because I seem to remember, like, something about that.
Yeah, it was Smallville and Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Ah, yes.
Sat on a panel for the Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and with people who just apparently hated the show.
Really? I hate that.
And it was there was this dude that was there, and I guess he kind of took it upon himself to moderate the panel. And after about 10 minutes, I had enough of it, and I kind of took over.
I can totally see this happening, by the way.
They never invited me back to Dragon Con again.
What
there was, like, they kept taking, like, questions from, like, right down front or whatever, because actually our Smallville panel was very sparse.
Mm-hmm.
The one we did on Smallville, but the Skynex panel, or the Skynex was our podcast, Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles panel, was actually pretty packed out, and it was packed out with most of our listeners. Most of the people that were there were our listeners, and so these other guys are just up there talking, and they're taking questions just from, like, right. You could tell it was either people they kind of knew or it was right up front. Well, there was this huge dude in the back. And by huge, I mean, like, muscly huge. Ah. And he's got his hand raised. And I'm like, hey, like, I just stopped the dude. I'm like, we're going to take that guy's comment or question because he looks like he can rip all of our heads off. And it got a laugh from the audience. And he stood up and he referenced the podcast. Like, first, I want to say Embrace the Paradox, which was our thing from our podcast. And then from there, it was just like, that unlocked me and unleashed me upon this panel, and never the twain should meet again with me and Dragon Con. So,
See, like, Steve, you're the perfect panel moderator. I could never do that. I don't have the will of force to actually, like, get people to be entertaining and funny. And you, I could totally see you doing that. In fact, I really wish you would just come up, drive up from Hazelhurst, and moderate this episode 7 panel. Although, far be it from me.
Well, you know, just talk to him about it.
That would be pretty cool. But yeah, so I mean, I'm just happy that we're doing stuff. It feels weirdly legitimate to actually be.
Yeah, it is, and it is. It's legitimate. It make you know, and it lets people know it's going to get the word out about the Star Wars Report even more, and it lets people know that you guys mean business. Everything you guys do is legit, though. That's the thing.
No,
you guys,
stop it.
You guys work really hard. To bring, you know, with the exception of Mark, to have a real air of professionalism about you and really make this thing work out. And the stuff you guys do, you go above and beyond the call of an ordinary podcaster. The interviews you score and the way you carry yourself in interviews, just outstanding. And Carl LeClaire and I were talking on a new show that I'm doing with him called Know What I'm Saying. And Riley, you have the uncanny ability to pose the exact same way in every single picture you take without even trying.
See, now this is another thing I was going to bring up in just a moment here, but this is true. This is true. Now, first of all, I've got to get insert falsely modest comment here. And then, no, thank you, Steve. That's we do appreciate that. And we always do try to put effort in. So we appreciate you recognizing it. And yes, I do have a weirdly robotic reaction when a camera goes in front of me. And see, Steve, now I'm just going to throw this all out there because you jabbed me.
That's a weirdly robotic reaction.
You threw in a few jabs back I think on Wampa's Lair to a couple of things during Celebration, and that's when I first realized I totally do that. And what's because I
see I was the mean sister who never told him that he did that and just kind of chuckled, not just, giggled, just kind of chuckled behind his back, you know.
Like, oh, well, and so here's the deal, because I and I'm going to throw all of this out there, because I historically have taken terrible photos, like, of myself and of when people take, it's like, somehow, is there a way I can frame myself to look considerably more deformed? So I was like, okay, I'm doing some events, there will be some pictures going forward, and as I do more podcasting and start attending more of these events, more pictures will be taken of me. And how do I not look like an idiot? Because like many people, I can admit that I am also a prideful and self-conscious person. And so I like,
that's where the thumbs up, mouth open smile comes from with me because I hate pictures of myself. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to embrace it.
But see,
big
you
thumbs up, big smile.
And you figured it out, Steve, because, I mean, that's a fantastic, cheerful pose. And you can't look at a picture of Steve Glosson and not think, that guy's having a genuinely good time. It's like, it is the go-to. It works. For me, I look like a self-conscious, retired model. And so and the reason is because I was like, well, what are like common poses? So I was like doing my research for this. I was like, okay, so this one works, this one works. And so then I forgot about it after that, and then realized like something in the back of my brain had like tacked on that one. Is like that's got to be perfect. So like Steve, I'm practicing. I've got the photo studio set up downstairs. I'm trying out the new
green
angle
screen so that you can insert various backgrounds. Exactly. Get a babbling brook.
No, his favorite one is the beautiful waterfall lit by the sun.
Thank you so much, Bethany. Thank you so much.
I'm wondering when the listeners realize that we crossed the line into complete fiction.
I don't know, but I'm going to leave that to their own imagination. So yes, I don't want to go step further without stopping for a moment and plugging a project that I am personally super pumped about. About 20 minutes ago, I got off the phone with a fantastic gentleman. You may know him, Steve. His name's Carl LeClaire.
And he and I are engaged in quite a heavy bromance right now.
Exactly.
I know what you're saying.
Get it?
Well played. It? Well played.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are barely over 10 minutes into the episode and got it in. All right. So I just got off the phone with Carl. I was going to get him and get like a special kind of reunion because there's a certain level of podcasting magic that takes place when the two of you start speaking together. And I've been saying this.
I think it's just magic in general.
Yes.
Because see it in
even
person.
Without microphones, the year. Oh, no. I'm going to steal a Steve-ism in front of him. The year was 2012, and the place was Orlando, Florida, and there we were, second night of the event, Saturday evening, sitting in the hotel room of one Michael Cohen, clonewarspodcast.com, and
speaking of which, he was really nice to let us all just kind of come and randomly crash his hotel room really late at night.
Yes, he was. Yeah,
I thought he was kind of a
jerk. And in this hotel room took place some of the probably the most engaging and entertaining, that's what I'm trying to say, conversation that I've ever heard took place primarily between Carl and Steve. And I thought to myself at the time, these two should be doing a podcast together. Well, ladies and gentlemen, fine listeners to the Star Wars Report podcast, stop what you're doing right now and go to geekoutpodcast.com and check out the inaugural episode of Know What I'm Saying. Steve, what is Know What I'm Saying?
Man, Know What I'm Saying is something that makes me more excited than all those Ewoks when Death Star 2 blew up. You know what I'm saying? I just got to take a time out and say I have out Herleman tonight. He's just sitting there quiet. He's not, you know, it's like usually he's Mr. Hyperactivity there in his little Star Wars cave, but tonight for what I'm telling you, it's been one of those days that whenever I turn on the radio, there's a good song on, and if that song ends and it's not so good, when I switch the station, it's another good song. A while ago, I got in my car and You Can't Touch This was on 90s on 9 and you just can't have a bad day when you have You Can't Touch This. But
have been a bad influence on Steve.
And it's easy because I just got done. I mean, Riley's got it all on tape. I literally dumped this big glass of water all over my notebook, and I've been cleaning it up the last 5 minutes, like trying not to make it noticeable. But my entire desk, all I've got is this one little towel that's now dripping wet. I've been wringing it out in the trash can. I'm like, oh man, don't blow up. So far, it's still working, but the whole keyboard, luckily, I've got a wireless one, and I mean, like, I don't know how. Like, just like, boom. Are you kidding me?
I wasn't calling you out, Mark, so you can go back to cleaning. Carl and I, we met, of course, at Celebration 6 down in Orlando and just hit it off in just a fun way. And so we've talked on and off, and I've never really thought about, let me add something else to my repertoire of podcasts. And let's be honest, my podcasting schedule is shaky at best. Like, you never know when. I do the surprise episodes. You know, you can count on the Star Wars Report to bang out at least two a month, even if it's just Riley talking. You know, Riley's going to be, he's going to make sure there's content for his listeners, and you guys are going to make sure that's there. With Geek Out Loud, it's like, we'll do it when we get to it. And so, it never crossed my mind. And then Carl and I were having a conversation the other day, and I'm like, this is podcast worthy. And I finally said, we should just do something together. We should do a podcast, just us. You know, but whenever you start talking to other people about co-hosting, one, if they're a co-host already of a project, which he does a great job, he and Jason on the Wampa's Lair, you know, I know that he's kind of part of the Star Wars Report family. So, you know, you want to be careful about poaching people. But it was just too good. And so we talked about it. A week later, we recorded, and I'm telling you, I cannot wait. We're going to do it every 2 weeks, and I cannot wait until next week to record our next episode, because I had that much fun, and it just flowed so well, and I'm looking forward to it again and again and again, and looking forward to a long-term relationship, if you will, with
it is getting serious.
Well, and what's funny is, like, all the tweets and stuff I saw afterwards were really calling us out, because we never quite went there. We never quite really – we joked about kind of letting people know that we were secretly in love. And so we decided the best way to do that was just play the song that we play at the end. But we never really quite brought it out during the show. But everything that I saw on Twitter and certain people emailed us were just like, I smell the start of a wonderful bromance. I'm like, oh, this bromance started last year. You have no idea. We're actually coming up on our one-year anniversary in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to it.
I know. And the great thing is, all of your mutual friends really approve of this relationship.
It's good to have support of the family, so to speak.
It really is. It really is. When your mutual friends are glad that you two have gotten together, that means a lot to the relationship. So it's fun. We're not necessarily talking about anything geeky. We're not necessarily talking about anything Star Wars. We're not necessarily talking about anything that really goes along with anything that Geek Out Loud is about. We're just going to talk about whatever we want to talk about, and you know, for an hour or so, and just have a good time. It's know what I'm saying. It'll have its own feed, but it's going to be hosted at geekoutpodcast.com. Michael Cohen has created for us a podcast logo. And guys, Bethany and Riley, you can appreciate this so much. He captured perfectly with his pen the eyes of a laughing Carl LeClaire.
Okay, where can I see this?
Where is it?
I'm pulling it up now. Is it on your Facebook page for the show?
I can't.
Or is it up yet?
What I'm saying, Facebook page. It's
yeah,
there.
Now I'm going to pull that up right now. Here we go.
What's fun, we cropped out, there's a picture on there that Carl actually cropped out Jason to put he and I next to each other in the picture from Celebration.
I see that. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, poor Jason. Oh my gosh.
I hope this is.
He's like, wait, I was there. I know it. Rufus is in the picture, man.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it now. That's beautiful.
I mean, you can tell which one's me, and you can tell which one's Carl just because the eyes are closed and happy.
I feel like
his eyes just disappear whenever he does that. It's rather adorable. You two are adorable, really.
Okay. You are.
All right. It's know what I'm saying. And on occasion, I don't always go around pimping other folks' show, but like, this is one thing that I think many Star Wars Report listeners would really get a kick out of. And like you say, it's not going to be strictly geeky, but I think that's a good thing, because I think it's a good opportunity for Steve. A lot of what I know you can do from listening to your other projects like Big Honkin' Show and other things, that it'll be a really perfect outlet for not necessarily the most geeky stuff, but certainly the most fun I've had in a long time listening to podcasts.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to more and more shows down the road.
Excellent. All right, so you guys ready to talk some Celebration?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Sounds
I was
good.
Freaking out up at camp. I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, it's on the West Coast. Oh, my God, I'm going. And they're like, what are you talking about? Celebration. I'm like, what's that? It's in 2015. What's that? It's episode 7. I'm going. And they're like.
Yep, we got a lot to talk about. Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 just happened over in Essen, Germany. And we've got quite a bit of news that came out of it. Some folks were a little bit disappointed, but I certainly wasn't. I got considerably more than what we had. So let's talk about it. It's Star Wars Celebration. Yup, nub. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the number one thing. So speaking of celebrations, I think it's very apt that we begin by kind of recalling our time at Celebration 6 last year. So,
in a segment we like to call Let's Make Mark Jealous.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be jealous no longer because all of us will be, barring flooding or the rapture, will be in Anaheim, California for Star Wars Celebration 7, April 20. 15. All right, so Star Wars Celebration, there it is. That's probably, as far as seeing the social media reaction and seeing fans' reaction, that's actually the biggest news coming out, just judging that. We'll get to more news in just a minute, but I want to just start with Star Wars Celebration. All right, so the first thing is, as far as this news, the biggest news is that it's news. It's the fact that Star Wars Celebration lives on and is not canceled, because I know there were a lot of fans who thought, under the Disney umbrella, Star Wars Celebration may no longer continue. I know, Steve, that was something that you had theorized at some point. So I think that's the first thing fans can be really excited about, is that they're continuing this event.
Mm-hmm.
So the dates, April 16th through 19th, what does that mean?
It means that I celebrate my birthday.
That's
well,
true.
Well, at Celebration.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
So will my son.
Yeah, nice. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome. Good time Celebration.
Oh my goodness. And so that date is the second thing. And I think that's a speculation piece that I think we can jump to now. Here's what I think. I've heard a lot of things. All right, this confirms Celebration's May. Release of Episode 7, May 2015. It must be so.
Mm-hmm. Our own fantastic Mitchell Hannon wrote an article about the three things about the Celebration announcement, and one of them he includes is, you know, the fact that to a lot of people it looks like Episode 7 will be released in May. But Riley, continue.
No, and so here's my theory, though, because that's the automatic thing most people jump to. Wouldn't it be perfect to get, say, early clips or an early screening of Episode 7? Here's what I think. I mentioned this on the solo show a couple weeks back, but one game I've played from the NSFW comedy podcast that they've done for many years is the movie draft, the summer movie draft, where it's basically fantasy football for movies, where you bid on them and you guess how much money they're going to make, and thus that gives you how much you bid. And it's a pretty interesting game. I've enjoyed it, and it's kind of gotten me a little bit better perspective on the current movie industry. And one thing that's been a trend the past 2 or 3 years is that April has had much, much bigger releases. Each April, it seems like a new movie is breaking the April record. For instance, this past year, it was the new Fast and Furious movie, which made a ton of money. And I think years past, like the old Wolverine movie came out in April and did really well, even maybe not critically. But so April has been a trend. So here's my theory. I think that means the weekend of April 16th through 19th is the release date of Star Wars Episode 7. And I think that'll mean they'll keep the release date for mid to late May for the Avengers.
So basically you think in order to not completely compete with each other that they'll be released
about 6 weeks,
apart.
8 weeks apart.
Okay.
So then when do you think they're going to announce that?
I think I'll just sit there. I heard a skeptical from the Hazelhurst Annex. Steve, your thoughts?
Well, there's a reason people are jumping up and down and saying May 2015 now. Celebrations 1, 2, and 3, which were all held prior to the releases of Episodes 1, 2, and 3, Star Wars Episodes 1, 2, and 3, were all held in April of that year with the movies themselves coming out, the respective movies coming out in May. I think it stands to reason that Disney knows two things. One, they've got a hit on their hands with the Avengers. They could release Avengers in early February and still blow the box office numbers out of the water. I think you should watch that July 4th weekend for Avengers. July 4th is a date where typically the movie companies try to get some big tentpole movies out. Movie companies like Warner Brothers and Universal have always done this. Disney sometimes, but I think that Marvel Studios can put its stake fully and 100% in the ground, because you got to think about what else is happening in 2015
with
these other companies, you know, with Warner Brothers, with Superman, Batman coming. I think Marvel Studios is going to say, and Disney is going to say, well, here is what we're going to bank on that we know will make us $10 billion is Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. And they'll probably put that smack dab in the middle of summer, July. They also know that Star Wars is traditionally a May release, and I think that Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm are probably doing everything they can. The fact that they're even doing a celebration, the fact that Kathleen Kennedy was at Celebration Europe, the fact that that there's been a lot done to try to, even though they took away a lot, Clone Wars, etc., there's been a lot done in recent months to really try to give back and let the fans in on what's going on. Lucasfilm is coming back around to being able to kind of control how they're interacting with fans and what the fans are saying and doing, that sort of thing. They're being more involved again. You know, the dust is starting to settle from the news back in October. And I think what you're going to see is Lucasfilm has probably put their foot down and said, look, May is Star Wars. That's when we do Star Wars, especially the movies that tie into the overall story as a whole, Episode 7, Episode 8, and Episode 9, we're shooting for May. And I fully expect it to be, especially with that April date, I'm in that camp of thinking it's going to be May, because what that allows them to do, I was at Celebration 3 before Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest things to happen there outside of watching Return of the Jedi, or no, I'm sorry, we watched Empire Strikes Back with a whole bunch of Star Wars fans, was a Rick McCallum panel where he showed footage that we had not seen yet from Episode 3. You know, it was an extended trailer, almost like a mega trailer. And oh my Lanta, everyone who was at Celebration 3 was at a fever pitch for Revenge of the Sith. It just fed right into that movie being released about a month or so later. And I think that what Disney looks at this and says is, this is incredible marketing. People are going to pay us to advertise this film to them and get them so jacked up and get them so excited. And we're going to do it in Anaheim, right near Disneyland. We're going to cross-promote. We're going to just, you know, blow the circle. And I think what you'll start to see now is a ping pong effect of Celebration back and forth across the nation. Anaheim, Orlando, Anaheim, Orlando. And Mark's got the pong thing going. And I think that that's what you'll start to see with these things. And I think that that you're definitely seeing Celebration 7 be kind of the lead up to a May release of Episode 7.
I
got to agree with you, but the thing that gets me worried, though, is they've already said May 1st is when Avengers 2 is coming out. So you think they're going to move that now after they've already said it? Because I almost kind of lean Riley's direction. They'll go with in April.
Well, when did they say May 1st?
When I'm looking here, I'm seeing a couple different places that are saying May 1st. One was saying May 4th. August 1st, 2014. No, that's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's
Avengers 2, May 1st. Yeah, a lot of places are saying it's May 1st, but I don't know where exactly they got it.
Okay.
But that's what I was like, because I remember hearing it was going to be an early May release, and I was like, huh, if that's going to be going on in May, because that was where I was originally thinking it was.
The thing is, they don't need it to be. Again, they could release Avengers.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. I'm saying May 4th, 2015. So But I don't think I'm wrong, though. I still hold that, and it's because of their independence from one another. It's because of, even though they're both under the Disney umbrella, Marvel Studios and Lucasfilm generally don't have much to do with each other, the same way Marvel Studios and Pixar don't have anything to do with each other. And though it won't be competition, it'll just be, hey, let's rule May. But it would not surprise me to see Disney
Exactly.
move.
You got the first and then the 25th. I mean, that's an opening book. I mean, you got it right there. Boom. There's the biggest month you're going to be making money.
And I don't – the thing is, though, is it's not uncommon for movie studios to move release dates around. In fact, if Disney looks and sees that Warner Brothers or Universal is putting something amazing out a little later in the summer, they're like, oh, we're cocked and ready, guys. We'll move it wherever. You know. And I think Avengers is their most mobile release date right now, Avengers 2.
I hadn't really thought about that much because I kind of think of, I was thinking of those tentpole films as something that you stake in the ground. It's kind of like a big game of chicken. Like, I dare you to put your movie on the same weekend as mine. But I could actually, I think, Steve, you do have me convinced. That what you say makes a lot of sense to me because, and here's the other thing I think we can really take away from this celebration announcement is the fact that I think that in some ways Kathleen Kennedy is lobbying to Disney what the Star Wars property is by attending this event. I think the fact that they put out a big giant press release yesterday saying 20,000 fans attended, which is a huge number, especially for the location, much bigger than the first Celebration Europe, and bigger than Celebration Japan. So it's the biggest one as far as overseas market goes. And that's kind of putting out a statement saying to Disney, Star Wars has the most dedicated fan base, and if we can do an event, you could not do as popular as the Marvel movies are, you could not get 10,000 people to come to a Marvel convention. And you could get 30,000 people, as proven last year, to come to a Disney convention.
Star Wars is just so timeless. It's a little odd that way because, I mean, the Marvel properties have been around for a long time, but there's something about Star Wars that really draws that sort of family crowd that, I mean, you don't just get the single geek, so you get the whole family. You get several.
Well, have you ever watched early Marvel movies? Like the TV shows and stuff? They sucked. I mean, it was like, whoa, what is that guy wearing? But Star Wars came out, it was like, whoa, holy cow, right away. I mean, that's where the precedence was set. I mean, Marvel was kind of like tongue-in-cheek. I mean, think about the early Spider-Man, the early Hulk. I mean, they did the best they could, but, you know, it was pretty cheesy. But, you know, Riley, I think about what you're saying, though, with it coming out April right then and there. How fun would that be? You're down there in Anaheim. You're at Celebration. You're going to Disneyland. There's an IMAX theater right there outside in the downtown Disney area. That's where I saw Star Trek 2. Dude, that would be an awesome time to put it, though. I mean, there is that allure of moving it forward. Like you said, that with summer being the new blockbuster hits, kind of shifting more into April, even though that's more spring. But I don't know. It kind of seems like they're making April the new May.
Yeah. So I think there's definitely a lot to take away from the fact of Celebration being there. And I like what Steve had to say about it being in Anaheim, because now this makes the first Celebration, this is the first time I'm going to ask you about it, Mark, that you're able to attend. Is it set in your sights?
It is set in my wife's sights, and that means it's going to happen.
Approved.
She's had it now where last year we went to Disney, and she had already said, you know, hey, in 2 more years, let's go back.
Sure.
So it was already planned. And that's around, you know, the same time we went last year. So I mean, we were there for my son's birthday. This year. So, I mean, it's a dead ringer. I mean, dude, they can't go wrong. And I was like, should we take the kids? And I'm like, well, it's my son's birthday. So, okay, the whole family's going. So that's going to be fun and exciting as well. I'll be there with the whole fam. You know, the one thing, though, that I was thinking with what Steve was saying is, what if they don't give us a release date? What if at Celebration we find out what the actual release date is? I mean, I've been seeing a lot of places on the internet where they're like, well, J.J. Abrams is really good at keeping things locked down where no one knows what's happening. What if the release date is the big hush-hush secret? I mean, that'd almost be terrible.
They're not going to wait that long.
J.J. might be that way, but the director of Star Wars Episode 7, while I'm sure he will have a lot of power and a lot of say in what happens, this is a franchise we're talking about and a massive property with a company based behind it.
Yeah.
Not just a movie that's being made. This isn't just this is a Warner Brothers movie. It's a cultural event with a company backing the movie properties itself. Yeah.
And I'm going to try to get...
JJ isn't going to have the only
And very briefly, I'm going to have to insert for a moment and just say, we lost Steve, so I'm going to pause the recorder real quick and we'll jump right back into this discussion when we get
Hello,
back.
Hello.
Right. No problem. Our recorder's back on.
You're absolutely fine.
We've got Steve on the cell phone, and he'll be back with us via Skype in just a moment. But sorry, Mark, I interrupted you.
Well, the other thing I was thinking is, like, think about the Star Wars book news. I mean, you know, everybody's anxiously awaiting word on Sword of the Jedi, and all we get is no comment for now. I mean, how big of a nightmare would that be if the release date is the big no comment for now, we're going to wait and tell you in celebration, or not even tell you that, but that's when they actually give it. I mean, that would be panic worthy. I mean, people are already like, is it enough time to get this movie out? But obviously it will.
That is an awfully pervasive, just taking that last thing you said, Mark, is an awfully pervasive opinion is, how can they make this movie in the amount of time that they have if it's a spring or summer 2015 release? And I think that is somewhat legitimate. I think in some ways people panic a little bit at too much and say there's no way they can do it. But I think...
I love the Steve doubt noises. By the way, what we learned at Celebration 6, really, the takeaway of Celebration 6 is that Steve is right. It's like he says the movie's gonna be in May. It's gonna be in May.
Exactly.
We have nothing else to discuss. The movie will be in May.
All we have to say is
7, 8, 9.
See? I mean, like, whenever Steve has a point and we question him, I'm just gonna go back to the soundboard and play
7, 8, 9.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing, and the thing is here. this whole 7, 8, 9 was in the works before Celebration Six, and I really do think that the desire was to announce that at the closing ceremonies, not bring out a German marching band and announcing Celebration Europe at the closing ceremony.
I believe that too.
And I think that because of the Disney stuff that was going on, because all the deals weren't finalized and the ink wasn't to the paper yet, that they couldn't say anything. And that and knowing that George Lucas has come out and said since then that they were already in negotiations with Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher to get them back on board, lets me know that what you had what they were bringing J.J. Abrams into was a lot of pre-production already done, possibly even some previous. Michael Arndt, I know, was brought in as a script writer. It wouldn't surprise me if that was done before the Disney deal and it just got announced after the Disney deal. And it wouldn't surprise me if Michael Arndt is cleaning up a script that's already been written by George Lucas. J.J. Abrams has said, well, we're trying to figure the script out now, you know, and we've got a little writing. I've heard him say that kind of stuff. I don't know how much of that is posturing and how much is actually truth, but I will tell you this. They might be having a hard time getting some dialogue figured out. They've got the story. I guarantee you they've got a lot further along in pre-production than a lot of people realize. And I don't think, just based on some of the things that have come out since the big announcement, I don't think that May of 2015 is too much to shoot for, because you're talking about shooting begins in January in England. They're only going to shoot, I mean, that's a 3-month shoot, maybe 6 at the most. Meanwhile, while they're doing it, because of the way technology is today, they're getting the animator stuff. Things are happening already that are post-production style things happening while the movie's being shot.
I mean,
by the end of the
post-production
year,
crew is, and the animation crew and everyone is not going to be just sitting back twiddling their thumbs while they're shooting.
Well, and here's the other thing.
George, you gave us this big script, but we can't CGI at all.
Well, and see, here's what I think. You just kind of made me think of this, Steve, is that I bet it's not one, but they're polishing all 3 movie scripts, which kind of goes into the...
It could be.
Which kind of goes into the next news, which is the biggest movie news coming out of Star Wars Celebration, and that is the one, the only, John Williams.
I've loved doing the Star Wars films with all the fanfares and flourish and the galaxy far, far away. I actually feel like I'm still in it, that I've never really left it, you know? Having worked on all of the 6 films, I'm just happy to be continuing to be part of the whole fun of doing it. Of course, I haven't seen the script, but the story is still unknown to me, the new story. But I can't imagine that there will not be some references in it to the existing stories that we know that would necessitate and make appropriate the use of some of the earlier themes, which actually for me has been part of the fun of doing film after film, because in each case I've been able to use the earlier material and develop new material that would coexist with it and hopefully feel like a part of the fabric of the film. Since I don't know the story, I have to tell you and confess to you that I would always prefer not to read scripts and even not to hear stories and look at cue cards and so on, and wait for the moment of discovery with the audience of the film itself. So I'm as surprised as they are and I know where to put the surprise button, you know, having not been prepared by a script. And of course, during the first film, I think our colleagues working in the film had no idea that there was going to be a second film, let alone a third or fourth. So I'm waiting anxiously, like the audience around the world, to find out what the surprises are and discover what my continuing role is going to be. I had dinner with Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams, and they are two people that I think are perfectly chosen to continue George Lucas's great odyssey. They're both young, they're both extremely gifted, have tremendous energy, and even in the case of J.J., who for me is very young, is also very experienced. He's had some great success with large-scale projects, which are very difficult logistically and mechanically to photographically, all of it. And even though he's a very young man, he brings with him a lot of expertise and a lot of a great background. So I think the combination of their youth and their experience and their energy and gifts, I mean, I couldn't, if I'd been asked, if I'd been asked by the various boards of directors, find me two people to take this project on to the next step, I would certainly have voted for them. We couldn't find better candidates for this opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, John Williams.
The man, the master, the musician.
John Williams is the man.
Oh, well.
I think
I just want to throw a random crazy question Steve's direction. With Williams being the obvious choice, and they went the obvious route, do you think they're going to actually go and do tie up stuff from the Clone Wars, like make Darth Maul the villain so they can wrap that up, or do you think they're going to leave that in the EU's hands?
I think they're going to wrap the Darth Maul stuff up in Rebels.
That's good. That's
well
a good
played,
point,
sir.
No, that's actually very really good.
It wouldn't surprise me at all to see them wrap that up in Rebels. I think that what we're going to get in Episode 7, unfortunately for a lot of hardcore EU fans, I think we're going to get a complete, almost what would be considered a reboot of the expanded universe.
Yeah, just that's not unfortunate anymore.
I don't think that George Lucas's vision of what Star Wars is beyond Return of the Jedi lines up, especially after years and years of hearing him talk and especially the route that a lot of the novels and that main storyline of the main three have taken. I don't think that lines up with what his vision of Star Wars after Return of the Jedi is at all. I think that what we're going to see, and I think it's going to make a lot of people upset. I think that you're going to have a lot of, not just EU fans, I think you're going to see some original trilogy fans not happy with the product of the prequels. I think what you're going to have is now a three-way division, or almost a four-way division of your prequel fans who aren't, they like the original trilogy, but they're not as big a fans of it. Your original trilogy fans who hate everything prequel, and they're going to hate everything sequel. And then you're going to have your sequel fans who are like, well, those other two are okay, or I can't stand the prequels. Well, and then you'll have people like me who are just like, I'm sorry, is that Star Wars on the screen? I'm there.
Yeah. Well, it's like with the Clone Wars. I mean, you have this generation of kids that's their Star Wars. You know, they don't really watch the movies. They only watch that cartoon show. And Riley with the prequels, I mean, you know, that was his bread and butter, so that's his more favorite. For me, I'm one of those where I start with the original trilogy, but I'm the saga. You know, I like everything bigger. That's why I'm the expanded universe fan. But I've come to the point now where, because of the way the stories go, and keep in mind, I love the most current point in the EU, so to have it be reboot, you know, I'm okay with that, but I don't want to see those stories end. I still want to see Sword of the Jedi. Come hell or high water, I don't care what's happening with the Episode 7. I think stopping that book is a dumb decision because I want the split. I want that division. I want the EU to do its own thing. I mean, when we got to the New Jedi Order and there was all, there is no dark side, and everybody was like, whoa, what the heck's going on? And by the end of that series, they had to retcon that. Oh, no, there's the Unifying Force. And, you know, they're always trying to go back to George's visions, but George would always give you, like, a breadcrumb here and a breadcrumb there, and people would run with it. And I was like, no, that's not what I meant at all. You know, I didn't mean for all the Jedi to disappear. Oh, wait, what? What about all these Jedi that disappeared? I mean, I think it's that time where they have to have that division.
Yeah, well, George's vision has always been something that evolves, for one thing, but also is released slowly.
Well, that's the thing. George's vision has definitely evolved, but what's evolved are story points, very specific story points. Yeah. You know, once he got past that original first draft of the Star Wars, and he solidified Anakin Skywalker was not, you know, Anakin Skywalker and Luke Skywalker, two different people. Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader. Once he gets all that solidified, a lot of his visions about what the Force is and a lot of his ideas about what the Jedi did, those are unchanged. I think those are very unchanging things.
I absolutely agree.
And then came Morgus.
Mark, I would like to now personally invite myself onto your EU podcast because I would love to discuss the idea of and I've done this with Jesse Colbert over on the Star Wars Book Report. Now it's the called the Temple Archives. You know, we've discussed a lot about what is, you know, the Force in the EU and the fact that you had Vergaer come along in the New Jedi Order saying there is no dark side. But I really took that when I read that as this is someone who's been abused and driven crazy in another galaxy with people who don't even have, you know, the Force is not even a thing there, so that they don't really exist in it when they come to our galaxy. And you see Luke try to kind of embrace that at the end, but then he goes back on it. You know, he turns that on his head itself. And I think that's just a process of Luke still learning. And I think that just shows how incomplete he was in his ability to learn everything. And the problem there is that and as much as I love him and as much as I hold it in high regard, the problem is what Timothy Zahn took away in his trilogy, and that was the ability for Luke to communicate with Ben and Yoda. I think that when Ben Kenobi and Yoda died and were meant to be immortal in the Force, that means immortal, not I'm drifting away and I'm losing myself in the Force. They have always been around so that Luke would have had a more complete training. And I know we've stumbled off into EU territory, but I say that to say I think that what we're going to see is he's never been to my house for dinner. I had a great English teacher in high school who said, you only refer to people by their first name if they'd come have dinner at your house.
like that.
But I think what Mr. Lucas's vision was, we see a little bit of it in his revamp of Return of the Jedi and the DVD releases. The fact that Hayden Christensen, for as much as I and other original trilogy fans just cringe that Sebastian Shaw is gone, I think that what you're going to see is we're going to see Hayden Christensen reprise his role as Anakin Skywalker. May even see Ewan McGregor or some type of trickery with Sir Alec Guinness with a voice double working to reprise his role as Obi-Wan, but as Force Ghost, continuing his communing with them to understand. And I really do think that Episode 7 is going to turn a lot of what people have thought on its head. I don't think we'll see Mara Jade. Contrary to what people are interpreting or reading into a lot of the call sheets that have been out, I don't think we're going to see the twins. I don't think we're going to see, and I'm sorry, Mark, I know she's one of your favorites. She's one of my favorites, but I don't think we'll see a Jaina Solo. I really don't.
I don't think so either. I really, truly don't. I am, though, curious to see when the Star Wars comes out on Dark Horse to see what George's original... I mean, I've read parts of the original stuff, but I'm very curious to see come to life and do its little course.
Yeah. I'm really anxious to see that too. I think it'll be very cool. But we digress, and I'm sorry, Riley. I do this to you all the time when I'm on your show.
No. That's why we have you on. I mean, and again, as Bethany pointed out at Star Wars Celebration 6.
7, 8, 9.
Doesn't matter. He's right. All right.
And that's my role as the EU correspondent, is to sidetrack it.
And I think this kind of lends into the discussion as we go, because Rebels, and I just want to make this point real quick before we carry into the final piece of news that we're going to talk about, which is
Riley, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. I don't mean to brush over the John Williams news, but I think that it's a thing where it's like John Williams doing it, enough said. There's really not much to comment on.
Yeah.
I think everyone expected it, that if he was healthy and able to score these movies, and even, you know, even work with probably the London Symphony, most likely, that he would do it. I don't think there was any question in anyone's mind. Michael Giacchino is a great close second for me. I don't think that anyone else in Hollywood right now could do the work of Williams except for Giacchino, I think, or Giacchino, however you want to say it. But I think that he is. I honestly believe, I know people are high on Hans Zimmer, and Hans Zimmer does great work. But I think that Michael Giacchino is probably the next John Williams as far as being able to score and play off a theme as well as what Williams always did. So, I just say, I know we kind of brushed over that topic with all the great sound clips you played there from the video they released, but
nope.
I think it's because there's not much to say other than, well, of course.
Well, exactly. Well,
of course, and it's a no-brainer. We're all happy. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the Ewoks on Endor. So there's this universal celebration. I don't know of anyone that was unhappy. In fact, everyone was thrilled with the idea of the man who created the soundtrack to our childhoods returning to do nine movies.
Our childhood, Riley? Really? Our childhood?
Well, I said childhoods, plural. am I being too assuming?
No. I mean,
there is probably a small contingent of adults out there that only watched it when they were 20 something, but
yeah. I was going to say, because my childhood took place before you were ever born. And so, yeah, my childhood, it was definitely the soundtrack, too.
I guess I can't see the humor, although it was a genuine point in that, even though it was prequels for me, he did create remarkable music. And I think the only other thing from the video is that it can't be shown in audio is that there were pictures of story meetings with George, Kathleen Kennedy, and JJ.
Yes.
Which, by the way, proves the fact that George at one point in an interview said, "No, I haven't talked to JJ." Which, by the way, which I believe was a calculated thing where they said, "All right, we got to shut everybody up about this." That was when they told.
And how many episodes was the saga again, George?
Exactly. Well,
12, 3. It's only 6. 6 is it. 9.
But yeah, I think that was about the same time they gave Hamill the gag order and everything else, where we just literally got a drought of news for the last few months.
Look, George Lucas, I think he had every intention of stepping away completely and being like, "Here's my notebook, I'm hands off." But if you have access, I don't care if you're Zack Snyder, J.J. Abrams, I don't care who you are. If you have the opportunity to sit down and have a creative meeting about Star Wars and about the Lucasian vision, if you will, of Star Wars, you take it and you run with it. And I think that Abrams realizes, I hope that he realizes as much about the look of Star Wars as he does about the story of Star Wars, but that's a whole other discussion. But no, that's amazing, and it does not surprise me. I think George Lucas is going to have his fingerprints on this thing more than people realize.
Definitely.
And I've said that from the beginning.
Yeah. In a good way.
That's something I think a lot of fans want to know. Exactly. What are these treatments, and what is this advisory role he's taking?
Yeah.
And there is that one contingent that they're like, "I don't want George to touch it." And then there's the other, "I want George all over this." So I have a feeling like they're deliberately putting the hush blanket on a lot of things.
Well, in the same way that George saying that he hadn't talked to JJ is now obviously blatantly not true. In a PR way, I think that's
at that point.
This came out, well, I mean, unless those pictures are like 2 weeks old, which I guess this is a fair point, that may be the case, but I do think that they are being very intentional about just keeping everything absolutely under wraps as much as possible. In fact, like, I was listening to Rebel Force Radio's, they just, as we're recording this a couple hours ago, put out their recap where they have David Collins on the show, and they played an excerpt of the press conference, and you guys can go tune in to Rebel Force Radio to hear that. But in that press conference, that's the first thing David Collins says is, hey, we're so glad everybody's here. We're excited about the new direction in Star Wars. Unfortunately, aren't taking any questions related to the future of Star Wars. And he didn't just say Rebels or Episode 7. He just said the future. Just like a blanket. All right, nobody do this to slip up. So last piece of news that I wanted to hit on real briefly is the Rebels. Star Wars Rebels was in force at Celebration Europe. Couple quick points. Club Jade has a great recap of it that I'm looking at as we speak. And the first thing is the new ship, the Ghost. Kind of a combination B-17/Millennium Falcon. Really, really cool looking ship. And really kind of has an original trilogy vibe to it. I'm sure you guys have probably seen
pictures.
Can you
put a link to that? Yep. I've seen it, but I need to look at it again.
Sure, yeah. In fact, I'll shoot you that, because the link in the chat, so that we can kind of all reference it, because there are some great there are some folks who are live tweeting the panel giving some information as well. Let's see. Okay, so yeah, sorry. It is in front of me now. The first thing is, in kind of, we're going to go in chronological order. Filoni hinted at potential for Star Wars, for Clone Wars characters, rather, being in Star Wars Rebels, which kind of goes back to what you were talking about a few moments ago, Steve, in that he was asked about it, and Filoni was notoriously silent. So, in which case, they only needed to get an adorable kid up there.
Right.
Exactly. So, and the direct quote is, oh, we'll have new characters, and we'll probably have some characters that you do know. So there you go.
Yeah.
Where are the adorable kids to ask questions?
I think a show called Rebels that takes place between episodes 3 and 4, between Sith and Star Wars, I think that you're going to definitely have... Look, animated Darth Vader, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking forward to it.
No, yeah, you can't
exactly.
complain.
Exactly.
Amazing concept art that was in this. And the logo tells a lot about the show. It looks like they put a lot of thought into it, but it does kind of have a very like a space western look to it.
You know, one of the ships in the picture with the Ghost flying, it reminds me of Star Trek with the four nacelles behind it. I'm like, that's like one of the ships from Deep Space Nine.
now, Mark, those are not nacelles. They're thrusters. You know this.
This is true. But it looks very close to nacelles.
Well, let me tell you what sticks out to me about this is that this is not, or maybe, I don't know, did they say it's a rebel ship, but it's flying in amongst a bunch of Imperial ships, it looks like. Or maybe those TIE fighters just attacking a rebel group, because I'm not familiar with the other ships, with the four engines there.
Yeah, I'm looking at that picture right now, and it looks like a modified, if you look at the main body of the ship, it looks like a modified Republic gunship to me.
Mm-hmm.
If
you it does kind of done it.
And it does have a look there, and then you kind of, one of them kind of looks like a modified Y-Wing, maybe a little bit, but definitely you see the TIE fighters there. You see
the real question is, how big are those? Are those capital ships, or are they just big freighters?
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks like they've been in design for a while and that the show is coming along on pace for its 2014 release.
All I know is X-Wings and TIE Fighters, that is what I've been waiting for since the prequel trilogy came out. I've been like, yes, I want some TIE Fighters again. That's the one thing about the original trilogy that has been my bread and butter, those space battles. You go to the prequels, it's all about clones. You give me Clone Wars, any kind of war, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and that... I'll tell you what, so the concept art they showed looks fantastic, but there wasn't really any big news other than some concept art and the logos and the ship. So we still really don't know anything about any main characters or anything about more specific timeline issues. We haven't seen Darth Vader. We haven't seen any main characters.
Do we have an approximate or actual release date for Rebels?
Yeah, fall 2014 was what they said.
I see.
On the old Disney XD, with a premiere on Disney Channel, if I'm remembering the press release right off the top of my head. He was wearing a cool pin that was in the shape of the Ghost. But again, nothing huge. The biggest news for me was Celebration 7. And I will say this. I think a good way to summarize and get all of our final thoughts on some of this breaking news is what this week has told me, what's already kind of been becoming more obvious to me, but especially now, is that Lucasfilm, to my great relief, has really, really been putting in effort to reach out to fans, not just slapping Episode 7 in our face and saying, all right, be happy. Because they could do that and probably still be fine. we would all take it and say, all right, new Star Wars movie's coming. We're happy anyway. But after the cancellation of the Clone Wars, with the suspension of some of you work and the cancellation of Detours, and the chopping of Star Wars 1313, it was a dark time. And if you guys go back and listen, exactly. If you go back and listen to the episodes, I was not happy and didn't mind saying so. But between the announcement of the new Star Wars Battlefront that's coming, the teaser they had at E3, between Star Wars Rebels now taking the place of Clone Wars, and and now of course Episode 7, these projects coming forward, it really does feel like they're putting in much, much greater effort to at least not just console, but reach out to fans who've been there all along. And that's important. You have to have a core understanding and reaching out to your core fan base, or there's just a certain artificial level.
This is really a way that for fans, it's reassuring because it's not an unknown silence, a blam, 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 bunch of stuff is canceled. Then you wait several years until Episode 7 comes out, and they're not doing that. And that really makes me glad. It's nice to have that little bit of reassurance as a fan.
Exactly. And that's really been my takeaway this week. I'm feeling better, Mark. I'm feeling better.
All is on the mend. You know, I just real quick before we get off of this, looking at Club Jade's article here, I cannot wait to get myself one of these logo shirts that says coming soon. But the Rebel pin down at the bottom has a very bird-like look to it.
Yeah.
Any ideas what's going on with that?
It's like a symbol for the ghost ship, I know, when I saw it.
Oh, it's the ghost ship. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I am very curious to see how this works and if it will play in with any of the older EU stories at this point. I mean, that's the thing about the sequel trilogy, that I'm hoping it breaks the EU, because I'm really expecting this Rebels stuff not to collide or, you know, to work well with all the other stuff out there. I'm expecting, bam, just... you know, continuity conflicts left and right. I would rather them just say from here on, let's just do a whole new thing, and the saga, the Clone Wars, the Rebels, and everything going forward is all going to be in this, and the books can do their own thing, and if it ties in with the movies, we'll let you know. You know, I used to call it the George Lucas Signature Series.
Well, the thing is that's what they've... Honestly, it's just it wasn't communicated from the get-go. That's what they've been doing since really Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Is that everything that's published, you know, that's not a movie adaptation is its own thing. Anything that goes beyond the films is its own thing. And George Lucas has said that repeatedly. The fans have tried to shoehorn things into continuity. The fans have had to, you know, to do the work of, you know, making things fit and retconning and that sort of thing. And then what happens too is your publishers were like, they didn't care. They didn't realize that it was going to be, continuity was going to be an important thing to fans until... you know, after like the Crystal Star or something, they're like, oh, you know, we should probably really, you know, get these things, get the continuity lined up. But I think that what you're going to see is Rebels really line up well with Clone Wars. And I think that you'll see Rebels really line up well with Episode 4. And we may even get some answers to some questions that that even Episode 3 left us with. I would really like to see. Here's my hope. There's a line. Can I geek out about Star Wars for a minute, Riley?
Let's geek out about Star Wars.
Geek out.
Okay. There's a moment in Star Wars when Vader and Obi-Wan are facing off, and he says, "You should not have come back." And it's not obviously he knew from lying on the side of a river of lava that Obi-Wan had gotten away, but I always like the idea. Then because you jump to Return of the Jedi, and Darth Vader tells Luke, Obi-Wan once thought as you did. Ben as much, you know, goes as far as saying, Luke, you know, I thought you'd like you did too. I would love to see an episode or two in Rebels devoted to Obi-Wan sitting on Tatooine, communing with Qui-Gon, both of them coming to the realization we think Anakin's still in there, and Obi-Wan breaking every mandate and going after Vader with the intent of turning him back to Anakin, and basically having to once again get away and just coming to the complete realization Anakin is truly dead, so that when Vader says to him in Star Wars, "You should not have come back," that you're like, "No, you shouldn't have been." you should have stayed right where you were hidden and that sort of thing. But we also get to see a glimpse of good Invader, because rather than kill Obi-Wan, he lets him go. He lets him escape.
I think that's a, wow, that's a perfect idea, Steve. I kind of, it kind of goes back to
7, 8, 9.
Cap it off.
You know, getting back to what we were talking about, the different variations there, the thing I always get driven nuts, by New Jedi Order, you could tell that the story of Star Wars from the EU side of things was not lining up with George's vision. But they continue to take George's stuff and shoehorn it in. That's, I think, what I would love to see the EU break free and stand on its own. It's like, you've told a different story, run with it. Go with it. Let's see where it goes. Stop trying to tie in things that aren't meant to work with your stories. You know, and I think that's where you get that back and forth with the movie only fans and the EU only fans. You know, I'm one, I try to encompass it all, but there are stories you just can't.
Mm-hmm. Fair point. Fair point. Wow. That's some fantastic speculation, some fantastic news and commentary. Before we wrap, I'm going to jump to a voicemail from listener Zach, I believe. So let's see if this, this comes on up.
Hey, Riley, Bethany, and Mark, and everybody else over at the Star Wars Report. This is Zachary. I wanted to ask about what you guys think would like to see in Star Wars Episode 7. I don't know if you guys have really discussed that. I might have missed that episode, but what do you want to see in Star Wars Episode 7 and stuff? And how do you think that we're going to get this supposed bonus content that's coming out for the Clone Wars? Do you think it's going to be maybe like special features on the Season 5 Blu-ray, or maybe it'll get a film roll release or something? Also, you guys agree, what are your feelings on the prequels? I need to understand, because honestly, I love the prequels. I've watched them ever since I was a little kid. I was 4 years old when The Phantom Menace came out, and I loved the death out of it. And I truly just don't understand this, just this hate that everybody has for the prequels. I understand that, you know, they're not as good as the original trilogy. I mean, preferably, I do prefer the original trilogy over the prequels, but I don't think that makes the prequels bad at all. And just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Why do people hate the prequels so very, 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 very much? Also, I wanted to ask my last little point here. I wondered if you guys were going to do another Star Wars movie commentary thing. I just want to say that your Attack of the Clones commentary back in 2012 was great, and I loved it, and I just want you guys to do another one. All right, bye.
All right, thanks, Zach. Appreciate it. Four points.
That's almost like a whole episode's worth of material there.
I know. 4 points, and I'm just going to go through all four myself and then let you guys jump in as you want, and then we'll jump out to the end credits. Number one, thoughts on Episode 7. Here's kind of my philosophy on Episode 7. I'm going to refuse to have expectations. I just want to take it in as they give it to me until I get there. There are plenty of things, and I'll be honest, there are plenty of things that I would love to see, but I'm sure there are plenty of things that I haven't even thought of that I would love even more. So speculation is going to be fun, and I'm sure we'll be getting into it a lot, especially as plot details come or trailers come. But as far as expectations go, or at least what I want to see, I'm going to try as much as I can anyway, which will be an effort to keep myself free of having too specific of expectations, because I'll be honest, I do not want to become, in fact, in some ways I fear becoming the very person I hate, and that is the person who says,
"Search your
Well, I didn't think Anakin should be 9 years old. That's stupid." It's like, the fact that being a 9-year-old is not in and of itself stupid, but if you decide it is, then it really is going to hurt your movie going experience. So if there is a 9-year-old in Star Wars Episode 7, I'm not going to immediately be unhappy. If there is a weird comedian character, I'm not going to be unhappy. I'm going to try to stay at least expectation-free. And I'll try to jump through these quickly and then let you guys jump in as well. Bonus content, we heard nothing from Celebration Europe 2. Nothing. Dave Filoni was asked about it, and it was... Pablo Hidalgo was asked about it and said, we're still working on what the release will look like. We do know that the season 5 Blu-rays coming out of the Clone Wars, but we don't know if the bonus content will be on it. I still think it might be, but it might be just some sort of digital mm-hmm. release or something. Number three, the prequels. If you don't like the prequels, go jump off a cliff. That's my thought.
Burn.
I mean, I'm done. I am done.
You are so mean.
No pulling sabers here. Right to the dome.
You just ripped the rug out from under us.
No, seriously. Like, if you don't like the prequels, that's fine. Just shut up about it already. It's been 10 years. On average.
You may fire when ready.
Sorry, a moment of passion. You guys caught me in a brief moment of passion. And lastly, commentary. We were planning on doing a Revenge of the Sith commentary back in May, and the schedule's conflicted. We're still working on it. I'd love to do it this next weekend. We're watching Return of the Jedi, the last movie with Jamie, and we'll wrap up that experiment. And I'm hoping to do a movie commentary very soon after that. I haven't talked to you guys about this, but I think before school starts, maybe the week of, you know, August 13th or so, August 12th, that week.
I've been going nuts.
Yeah, I'd love to do Revenge. Hey, Steve, you want to do Revenge of the Sith commentary with us?
Yeah, okay, y'all come to the house.
Hey, I'm this close to doing it. That would be awesome.
Does Amantha Poo do in the Judlin Waste?
Come on to Hazelhurst. Let me know when you're going to be here.
Does an Ewok drum on Stormtrooper helmets?
You know what I'm saying? Oh, goodness.
Does a Wookiee rip people's arms off? All right.
Yes.
When he loses.
Well, I'm going to jump into the next, right, as the next person to describe some of my thoughts and feelings on all of the stuff that you asked about, Zach.
This is therapy session with Bethany.
Therapy session with Bethany.
All right. So, Bethany, what are your
thoughts? Sit back in your chair, lean back, take a deep breath, breathe. Breathe again.
Yeah.
Not fully, guys. Inhale, exhale. Okay. You got it. Think of something happy. Get into your happy place. Okay, we're
your
there.
Happy place.
We're there, we're happy, we're breathing. Okay, thoughts on the sequels, what I want / expect. Truthfully, I'm rather where Riley is, but I think for a different reason, because I don't fear necessarily having expectations as much as having limiting expectations. I don't want to have specific expectations, in part because, truthfully, I respect George Lucas as a creator and as a visionary, and I respect J.J. Abrams as someone who can take another person's vision and do well with it. I mean, there aren't many people who can do well with bringing it to being somebody else's vision. That's hard stuff to do. And I respect Kathleen Kennedy's ability to make sure that J.J. Abrams has all the tools that he needs to do so. So really, I'm sold on the team that we have for Star Wars. I'm sold that their expertise and their experience actually outpaces mine, and that their vision and what they bring to the Star Wars universe will surpass any expectations that I have if I allow it to by being open-minded.
You don't think your fan edit of Episode 7 is going to be better than Episode 7?
No, kinda Riley, goes back truthfully, to the, I don't.
Kind of goes back to the prequels question.
With the prequels, Riley kind of addressed a different aspect. Zach, what I believe you were asking is, why do people hate on the prequels? I mean, we could get into the psychology of it. We could really, really turn this into a whole episode, I'm sure. But just in brief, I think that...
We'll do that in our Kyle Newman interview, which is a fantasy in my head.
Ooh, that would be nice, yeah. Why do people hate the prequels? Really, I think there are three main reasons. I just did the politician thing. Three main reasons. One is, I believe that people had very specific expectations that, when not met, they were disappointed because it wasn't what they imagined. Even though it was good, it wasn't what they imagined. So they had a hard time enjoying something that was simply different. People like the status quo. People like things that are familiar, that are comforting. So when you have change, it unsettles people. I mean, look at the whole Disney deal. People were really excited, but they're also really unsettled a little scared for the future, especially once things really started getting knocked out of the way. Up, canceled, up, trashed, up, put on ice, you know. Another reason I think people dislike the prequels is because not only was it not what they envisioned, but what they had, they experienced the original trilogy as kids. And so they sort of saw the original trilogy through those rose-tinted glasses, glasses that they no longer wore when they saw the prequels. When, if you watch those movies through the eyes of an adult, cynical,
who's seeing it for the first time, like, if only we had done this experiment, like, where we watched the Star Wars movies with someone who had never seen them before, so that we could get their genuine reaction to the films. Sorry, we'll report on it once we're done with the Return of the Jedi.
Yes. So you don't have the rose-tinted glasses when you watch the prequels as an adult. And frankly, that can hurt the film, because there are genuinely some ridiculous things about the prequels. Some of the dialogue is really shaky, but it will make you laugh. It kind of takes you out of the moment. We're sitting ducks.
Lisa, speak!
Exactly.
Just that did set up a great line for Qui-Gon. The ability to speak does not make one intelligent.
A third reason is approaching it negatively because you're afraid of what might happen if you actually like it. Your viewpoint will be changed. You were wrong. Your expectations were wrong.
See, for me, my episode 7 expectations are mostly on hold. I mean, why? Lucas has blown my mind one too many times in the past. I'm expecting the curveball, but I do have some expectations. The one is I want to see some big space battles. I'm really hoping for X-Wings. I would love to see a threat to the Jedi Order. Not so much something for the whole galaxy, but something that actually affects what Luke has built. When it comes to episodes, season 6 of The Clone Wars, I would have loved to see it come on the bonus disc as some bonus material, and them slide it under the radar, not tell us to the last minute. Because if it doesn't come out there, I really have a hard time seeing them doing anything else aside from a bonus disc like what they do with some of the trilogy sets. My thing on the hate, though, I really think it's the wait. They took so long between the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy that people built up so much speculation on what the Clone Wars was. I mean, I thought it was Obi-Wan Kenobi clones fighting each other, which Obi-Wan had to go and fight them or something like that. I mean, for those of you that weren't born in the time, imagine Back to the Future to be continued. And then they waited how many years for that? People were like, is this movie ever going to come out with a sequel? I think that buildup is what was the problem. That it took so long with nothing really in between there for people to really latch on to, that they got really angry with waiting, and they were speculating, coming up with their own fan fictions and stuff with what they thought should be, that when they heard it, they were like, oh, mine's racing 1,000,000 miles an hour, and they were just plying all those thoughts they already had, and when they sat down in the theater, it was mad disappointment.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, good point. All right, guys, guess what? John Williams.
Wait a minute.
You got to let Steve give his opinion.
7, 8.
I went fast so you'd have some time, too.
I agree with Hurdleman's expectations of episode 7. I want to see space battles. I don't know about a threat to the new Jedi. If there is a threat to the new Jedi Order.
Sorry. Steve, I got to jump in for a moment. Sorry, there's a hard cut on the music. Your final thoughts. You have 1 minute.
Okay. Go. I agree with Hurlman on the episode 7, 8, 9 thing. I hope that we'll see space battles. I hope that there will be a threat to the new Jedi Order, but I hope it's not the Sith. Other than that, I don't really have expectations. The prequel hate, let me tell you something. I grew up...
Oh, no.
He's got...
Where did he go?
He's got 1 minute. Oh.
Hey, I don't think that's fair, Riley. I don't think that counts. If he's cut off...
He's got 20 seconds left.
Oh,
he's got nah.
Oh, that was so sad. I was so into it.
Incredibly depressing. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ding, call him on his mobile. All right, here we
okay.
go.
Okay, good.
And I think we may have lost Hurleman as well. So let's.
Well, I think we lost internet.
Yeah.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, all right, so we'll pause.
Oh, it's back. Try calling.
All right, so hang on. All right, Steve, are you with us? Steve, hello. All right, I'm gonna pause for a second. It'll all be fixed in post.
Prequels.
It'll be absolutely fine. Oh my goodness. All right, Steve Blossom's about to get his cue to resume. Let's do this. All right.
30 seconds remaining.
There you go.
As far as the prequels go, I love the prequels. I watched the prequels as a grown man and loved them, absolutely loved them. Everything that everyone said about expectations is the truth. Star Wars, I grew up with Star Wars, but Star Wars did not grow up with me, and a lot of people can't stand that. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. GeekOutPodcast.com. Check it out. See out.
Yeah!
Double kill. Sudden death. Snipers.
All right. That's it. That is it, folks. Steve out. When he says out, he's serious. Like, he hung up.
He's gone.
He is no longer there.
He's just gone.
So, guys, that's it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Good stuff. Good stuff. Woo-hoo. Thanks for calling us in, Zachary. Yeah. And we appreciate any and all voicemails, for sure. For sure. And if you want to call in like Zachary did, it's super easy. Just call into our voicemail line. That's at 858-859-0SWR. That's our Google voicemail line. You can also go to StarWarsReport.com, and there you will see a link in the bottom on the bottom right of the page. It's a little pop-up that says, leave us a message. It's a SpeakPipe application, and you can record your voicemail straight into the recorder. So if you have a nicer microphone, that's the perfect way to do it. No phone required. But we appreciate your voicemails. And hey, what are your thoughts on all the news coming out of Star Wars Celebration Europe 2? We'll be dealing with the fallout next week. But man, a lot of great news. I mean, John Williams is coming back. You know, Star Wars Rebels. We're seeing concept art. We saw the logo. Celebration 7, Anaheim, California. It is a great time to be a Star Wars fan. Yes, indeed. Hey, if you guys, a couple other things, housekeeping, stay tuned right now if you want to hear some extra notices. First thing, Dragon Con 2013, coming right up. Aaron Goins will be there. Teresa Delgado will be there. We will be there in force doing video coverage. We'll be doing the daily podcast. We'll be posting pictures on our Facebook and Twitter page. So stay tuned. Follow us at Star Wars Report on Twitter and Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. That'll be the place to follow along as we have our Dragon Con 2013 adventures. Remember, Atrium 706, that's the room. Marriott, that's the hotel. At the time, Friday, 2:30 p.m. Everything we know about Star Wars Episode 7, Saturday, 7 p.m. Blogs, podcasting, vidding, and much more. We'll be there with the good folks over at Tashi Station and more. Great stuff happening at Dragon Con this year, and I hope to make Dragon Con a home base for future Star Wars Report adventures. So maybe next year, Mark, I know it's 1 year away, but maybe we can get you out to Atlanta before Celebration. I know, and we'll drag Steve and Carl and those folks out there to Dragon Con. Again, email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Follow us, StarWarsReport.com. where you can get really catch up with everything. And lastly, again, I'll remind you guys again, follow us up on our mailing list. StarWarsReport.com/mailing list will forward you to a way to punch in your email, and you'll get updates right in your inbox about you know, future meetups and all these cool Star Wars plans. I need to send out some more stuff on the mailing list. But again, that does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. We do appreciate you listening. And remember, support us by jumping over to our sponsors, audibletrial.com/Star Wars Report. Get yourself a free audiobook. And you can click again on StarWarsReport.com/support, and you'll find a link to our Amazon store. If you shop through Amazon, they give us a small little commission if you click on that link before you make your purchases, and that helps out the Star Wars Report with what we are trying to do. So we appreciate you listening to this episode. May the Force be with you, and remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. No.